Welcome to our new series called Streaks. These next 3 weeks, we're going to be talking about faithfulness. And the story that we're going to be talking about in describing faithfulness is the story of Daniel. And I know a lot of people know about the story of Daniel in the lion's den, and we hear that kid's story all the time, but there's so much more to the story of Daniel than just that part. Daniel is such a great person to look at when it comes to faithfulness because of the situations he was put in. Daniel and his friends were all from Israel, and Babylon had taken over Israel. And what they did is they didn't just keep the Israelites in Jerusalem. They took them from Jerusalem and they took them all the way back to Babylon. And they kept them as like slaves, servants, made them do whatever they wanted. And they wanted to make sure that the Jews became just like the Babylonians. They wanted to change who they were. And so we're going to be looking at the big picture of the position that Daniel was in and how his faithfulness changed his life and changed others' lives around him. So to start off the story is in... Oops. Is in Daniel 1, 1 through 7. And I know it's a lot, but it's on the Bible app also if you guys wanted to follow along on the Bible app. But the beginning of the story is, in the third year of the reign of King Jehoiakim of Judah, King Nebuchadnezzar of Babylon came to Jerusalem and laid siege to it. The Lord handed King Jehoiakim of Judah over to him, along with some of the vessels from the house of God. Nebuchadnezzar carried them from the land of Babylon to the house of his God and put the vessels in the treasury of his God. The king ordered Ashaphaz, his chief eunuch, to bring some of the Israelites from the royal family and from nobility, four young men without any physical defect, good-looking, suitable for instruction in all wisdom, knowledgeable, perceptive, and capable of serving in the king's palace. He was to teach them the Chaldean language and literature. The king assigned them daily provisions from the royal food and the wine that he drank. They were to be trained for 3 years, and at the end of that time, they were to attend the king. Among them from the Judahites were Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. The chief eunuch gave them names. He gave the name Belteshazzar to Daniel, Shadrach to Hananiah, Meshach to Mishael, and Abednego to Azariah. So we have four characters that are from Jerusalem, and it's Daniel and his friends. And basically, they've been taken from their home, and they've been put in a place where they're uncomfortable. And the Babylonians are making them do things that go against what they believe. And I think that happens to us sometimes, is we get uncomfortable streaks, where sometimes, like, our friends put us in weird situations, and, like, we feel uncomfortable, like someone like makes fun of you or something at lunch and you're like feel really weird about it. Or maybe sometimes you get yourself in a situation where maybe you didn't make the most godly decision and you didn't understand why you couldn't make that godly decision. Or maybe you're in a situation that feels like no matter what you do, you can't get out of it and you just can't make the right choices. Well, Daniel was put in a position where he didn't really want to be in, but he didn't have a choice. He didn't have a choice to be where he was at, but he had a choice to make whether or not he was going to follow God's plan. So in Daniel 1, 8 through 16, it says this: Daniel determined that he would not defile himself with the king's food or with the wine he drank. So he asked permission from the chief eunuch not to defile himself. God had granted Daniel kindness and compassion from the chief eunuch. Yet he said to Daniel, "I fear my lord the king who has signed your food and drink. What if he sees your face is looking thinner than the other young men your age? You would endanger my life with the king. So Daniel said to the guard from the chief eunuch, has assigned to Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, please test your servants for 10 days. Then let us be given vegetables to eat and water to drink. Then examine our appearance and the appearance of the young men who are eating the king's food, and deal with your servants based on what you see. He agreed with them about this and tested them for 10 days. And at the end of the 10 days, they looked better and healthier than all the young men who were eating the king's food. So the guard continued to remove their food and wine, and they were to drink and gave them vegetables. Now, Daniel and his friends did something really bold right here, because like what we're about to talk about is King Nebuchadnezzar is kind of a crazy guy. He's so obsessed with himself and so obsessed with Babylon that he literally wants everyone to be Babylonian, even if they're not like ethnically Babylonian. He wants them to be Babylonian. And he's even so crazy that he's so crazy about himself that he wanted everyone, even throughout history, to know who he was. And some scholars say that he engraved his name into so many rocks and used so many stones to build monuments for himself that it would equal out to 15 million stones would represent Nebuchadnezzar. Like, you could see that Nebuchadnezzar had a part in building something. Like, 15 million stones, that's a lot of stones. But he was even so crazy that back then, if you defied the king and you defied what he wanted you to do, the Babylonians were very much into torture and killing. That was like, if you defied the king, that's what he was going to do. It says, some ancient scholars say that the judges of ancient Babylon were particularly enthusiastic when it came to torture. They would cut off feet, lips, noses, blinding, gutting, and tearing out of the heart. So like, the thing Daniel and his friends did was very like gutsy. They took a chance at any of that happening to them just from not eating the king's food. And because of that, God blessed them. And what they did takes courage. Faithfulness takes courage. And Daniel took his gamble, and it wasn't easy, but it worked out. God blessed him. They became healthy, and a lot of the times, if we're in situations like this, we have two ways to handle it. It's the world's way or God's way. And which one do you find yourself choosing most of the time? When you're put in situations with your friends at school, do you find yourself choosing what God would want you to do? Or you find yourself choosing what peer pressure might want you to do, or what the world is telling you to do. See, it's easy to be inside these walls and on Sundays and Wednesdays and make the right decisions and honor God. But outside of these walls, when we're in school, do we make the same decisions? Because we might not have as big of decisions as Daniel. Like, I know we're not worried about being killed for the decisions we make, for the most part. But do we ever really stop and think about the decisions we're making? Are they faithful to God? Or are they faithful to the world? Because honest faith is always rewarded. And now, I put honest in there because when we're faithful to God, are we doing it because we're scared of what he might do to us or what might happen if we don't? Or are we doing it because we completely love God? We got to ask ourselves that question. Do we truly trust God? Do we truly have faith in him? And a lot of the time, we have to trust God not knowing what's going to happen. And it's not necessarily blind faith, because God tells us so many times in Scripture that if we are faithful to Him, He's going to take care of us. There's a passage in Galatians chapter 4, verses 1 through 7, and it says, "Now I say that as long as the heir is a child, he differs in no way from a slave, though he is the owner of everything. Instead, he is under guardians and trustees until the time set by his father. In the same way, we also, when we were children, we were in slavery under elements of the world. When the time came to the completion, God sent his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those under the law, so that we might receive adoption as sons. And because you are sons, God sent the spirit of his son into our hearts, crying, 'Abba, Father.' So you're no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then God has made you his heir." When you accept Christ, you're now a child of God. And there's nothing we should worry about. The crazy thing is we worry about so many things and we worry about what God can do for us, but God's done everything for us already. He's done enough. Through his grace and through Jesus' sacrifice, that's all we need. But we always want more. And we got to ask ourselves, what's the reason I'm obedient or faithful to God? In Daniel's story, it says, "God gave these four young men knowledge and understanding in every kind of literature and wisdom. Daniel also understood visions and dreams of every kind. And at the end of the time that the king had said to present them, the chief eunuch presented them to Nebuchadnezzar. The king interviewed them, and among all of them, no one was found equal to Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, or Azariah. So they began to attend the king in every matter of wisdom and understanding that the king consulted them about. He found them 10 times better than all the magicians and mediums in his entire kingdom. Daniel remained there until his first year of King Cyrus." Because Daniel and his friends were faithful, God blessed them, because they did it out of pure love and faith for God. They knew, regardless from what they were doing, if they were going to die, then that was God's will. But they were going to be faithful to him anyways. They were taking that chance. And the one thing that we got to understand is a saying called God's preservation. And basically what this means is that since we're children of God, God is going to take care of us, and he's going to watch over us. And the way he interacts with the world and the things around us, like with Daniel, he gave them visions and he gave them the wisdom. He intervened and he took care of them. And a lot of the times we don't see that happen in our lives, but it does happen. Sometimes we're confused and we're like, what is going on? This is so weird. Like, I don't understand, God. What are you doing in my life? But that's when faith comes in, because we never know exactly what pieces and parts God's messing with. Another example of this is when Joseph is in Egypt. He got sold by his brothers to slavery. So God caused a famine. So when Joseph became in power in Egypt, it brought his family back, because Egypt had all the food. So he could show his family that he forgives them and he loves them and he could take care of them. God does things in our lives that we don't quite understand, but we have to trust. And the tricky part is, though, are we being faithful for the rewards, or are we being faithful because we absolutely love him? It doesn't matter what he does for us. Do we love God that much that it doesn't matter what he does in our life, that we're going to be obedient to him, just like Daniel? And Daniel had to, in some ways, figure out this dream of King Nebuchadnezzar. the king had some weird dream that he wouldn't tell anyone, but he told all of his magicians, whatever, wise guys, that you guys need to figure out my dream. I'm not going to tell you what my dream is, but you got to figure this out. And all of these guys are like, we can't read minds here. So it said, in the second year of his reign, Nebuchadnezzar had dreams that troubled him, and sleep deserted him. So the king gave orders to summon the magicians, mediums, sorcerers, and Chaldeans to tell the king his dreams. When they came and stood before the king, he said to them, I have had a dream, and I am anxious to understand it. Chaldean spoke to the king, may the king live forever. Tell your servants the dream, and we will give you the interpretation. The king replied to the Chaldeans, my word is final. If you don't tell me the dream and its interpretation, you will be torn limb from limb, and your houses will be made a garbage dump. But if you make the dream and its interpretation known to me, you will receive gifts and rewards and great honor from me. So make the dream and its interpretation known to me. So basically, they go on, ask him like three more times. We can't tell you what your dream means if you don't tell us. And they're all getting really, really mad. And finally, King Nebuchadnezzar tells them, well, if you can't interpret my dream, then I'm killing all of you. And Daniel and all of them were a part of this too. And so Daniel responded with the tact and discretion to Arioch, the captain of the king's guard, who had gone out to execute the wise men of Babylon. He asked Arioch, the king officer, why is the decree from the king so harsh? Then he explained the situation to Daniel. So Daniel went and asked the king to give him some time so that he could give the king interpretation. Then Daniel went to his house and told his friends Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah about the matter, urging them to ask God of the heavens for mercy concerning this mystery. So Daniel and his friends would not be destroyed with the rest of Babylon's wise men. The mystery was then revealed to Daniel in a vision at night, and Daniel praised God of the heavens. Now, the first thing that I notice in these verses is that the first thing Daniel did when he told the king that I'm going to figure out your dream, give me a few days, first thing he did was go pray. The first thing he did was counsel with God and ask God to enlighten him. And he even asked his friends to do it as well. And they all prayed and God answered him. And there's a little bit of a contrast here of Nebuchadnezzar and Daniel. Nebuchadnezzar put his faith in men. He said, you guys find this dream because this dream is really whacking me out right now. It's taking control of my life and I can't understand it and I'm not sleeping. So you guys all have to figure it out and find it out. So Nebuchadnezzar put his faith in men and they all failed him because obviously he was going to kill him because none of them could figure out what was going on. But Daniel's first reaction was to go to God. And he put his faith in God. And God didn't fail him because he figured out the dream. He had a vision. So have confidence in God, not man. Daniel knew he couldn't do this on his own, and he knew that without God, he wasn't going to be able to get in someone's mind and figure out their dream. Which brings me to this. When we're talking about God's preservation, we can't rely on our own self-preservation. We can only rely on God's will and what he's doing in our lives. We can't rely on whatever we think we can do. Now, I want to do something here real quick. I want everyone to take out their phones. And I want you to pull the camera up, and I want you to put it like you're taking a selfie. If you don't have a phone, if you're sitting next to someone that has one phone, get in the picture with them. Now, I want you to look at it. You know, you can take selfies if you want. I don't care. But keep looking at it. No, keep it in front of your face. And I want you guys to tell me, what do you see? No, answer the question. What do you see? You see yourself, right? Well, how about instead of relying on yourself and having faith in yourself, because ultimately you're going to fail. So take yourself out of selfie mode and put it on the front camera. This should be how we see everything. We should be looking to God and not ourselves. We can't have confidence in man because man will fail. But in everything we do, like it said in Galatians, like we have the Spirit of God inside of us. And in everything we do, we should be crying out, Father. And when we rely on ourselves, then we're not going to get anywhere. And we wonder why, when we're being selfish and just relying on ourselves, that I can fix the problems in my life. I can do this on my own. When we're in selfie mode, we tend to get into a cycle where, man, I don't know how to get out of this. I don't know where to go. I don't know what to do. And it all comes down to being humble enough to ask God for help and rely on Him. So my connection point for the night is faithfulness equals life change. And it not only changes your lives, but it changes the people around you as well. Daniel here, at the end of his story, he tells the king his vision, and he tells the king, this is what your dream means. And his dream was a giant statue that had a gold head, and then it had a silver body and a bronze like legs, and his feet were a mixture of some of the metals, and they were cracked. And they were talking about that Babylon was the head of it, and then Greece, and then Rome, and then the other countries that took over Israel. And Daniel saw a rock come and hit it and destroy it, and he told the king, and the king was so astonished because that's exactly what happened in his dream. And this is what Nebuchadnezzar did. The king, Nebuchadnezzar, fell face down, worshiped Daniel, and gave orders to present an offering and incense to him. The king said to Daniel, your God is indeed the God of gods, Lord of kings, and the revealer of mysteries. Since you were able to reveal this mystery, then the king promoted Daniel and gave him many generous gifts. He made him ruler over the entire province of Babylon and chief governor over all the wise men of Babylon. At Daniel's request, the king appointed Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego to manage the province of Babylon. But Daniel remained at the king's court. Like, because Daniel was so faithful and relied on God, that the king, who was so obsessed with himself, fell down on the floor and worshiped God. Now think about that in your own lives. You might think your faithfulness has to do with yourself, but it also has to do with others. When we're outside of these walls and we're put in situations to be faithful to God and do the right thing, do we do it? Because if we don't, who knows who's watching? Who knows what's going to happen to someone else if you're not faithful? Because the most important job for us, like we talked last week, is to run the race to win. And our number one goal in life should be to represent Christ so seeds can be planted, so God and the Holy Spirit can change their lives. But if we live a completely different life outside of these walls, then what are we doing? Do we really love God? Do we really use the Holy Spirit that's inside of us? Because there's a lot that goes there. See, the kingdoms of this world, no matter how powerful or extensive they seem to be, are not permanent. Only God's kingdom is everlasting. The realization helps believers as us focus on which is eternal and not temporal. The things of this world get in our way, and we tend to move towards those things. But that takes us into a spiral that a lot of times, well, actually every time, we can't get out on our own. But we have to be faithful to God and understand and trust that He's going to take care of us. The thing we got to ask ourselves that I keep saying is, do we truly have faith in God? Or is it all just a joke to us? Is it all something that we take seriously? Because it's really easy to get into the mainstream of coming here on Sundays and Wednesdays and getting fed and doing that, looking good in here. But outside of here, are we really faithful? Are we really obedient to Him? And we can look at Daniel's life and see what happens when we do that. Because whether or not you believe it, someone's watching you. And your faithfulness could be the thing that changes their lives. Go ahead and bow your heads and close your eyes. I hope tonight that you listen to what the Holy Spirit's telling you. So I can feel it in the room, and I know we have some decisions to make tonight. That some of us need to evaluate where we're at in life right now and ask ourselves, am I faithful to God completely? Does everything I do shout out, I love Jesus? That's a hard question to ask ourselves. But I truly think it's essential for us to ask ourselves that. Is everything I do shout, I love Jesus? And maybe tonight's the night that you take the step in this direction of, all right, God, I'm going to be faithful to you. I know it's not going to be easy, and I know I'm going to be pulled in 50 million directions the world wants to take from me, but I'm going to do my best to love you and be obedient to you. Lord, tonight's the night that I'm taking it seriously, and when I walk outside of these walls, people are going to know that I'm so absolutely in love with Jesus. There's not a doubt in my mind that we can change the world if we just have that mentality and that heart. If we're so absolutely in love with Jesus and we're so absolutely in love with God for what He's done for us, everyone you should come in contact with should know that. So tonight, will you take the step of truly being faithful and obedient to God? I know some of you tonight, it might be your first night, or maybe you've been coming here for a while and you don't really know what this Jesus guy is all about. Let me tell you this. There's a God that loves you so much that He sent His one and only Son to die for your sins, because we're all broken. None of us are perfect. And there's a price to pay. And Jesus paid that price. And I want to ask you the question, if I were to ask you right now, would you know 100% if you were to die right now, would you go to heaven? Because if you don't know that, I would love to talk to you. And I want to actually throw this out there. If you don't know, if you can't answer that question with 100%, would you be bold enough to look me in the eyes, prop your head up? It'll only be me and you. Me, you, and God. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you for this night. Lord, I thank you for what you've taught us, Lord, and I just pray as we leave this building tonight, Lord, that it doesn't just stay in here, Lord, that the love that you've given us, Lord, shines through us. Lord, and I just pray that tonight we take the steps into being truly obedient to you, Lord. Lord, I pray that if anyone doesn't know you as their Savior, Lord, I pray that you soften their heart and give them the courage to come talk to me or come talk to any of the leaders, Lord. Lord, we want nothing more than that. Lord, we love you with all of our hearts. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.